When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What a sports weekend. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. What a sports weekend.
Say my name again, Max.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, I said. What do you think I said?
No, I just, the way you emphasize Keyshawn.
Keyshawn.
It wasn't just like Keyshawn. You know, he's like Keyshawn.
Oh, no, possible.
Because you're the key.
I put John Morant in the Sun series earlier. It's
no, it's not a bad. No, it's
possible. Just, I said Keyshawn and was unaware.
No, it's not. Nothing wrong with it. I like to hear you emphasize.
We like to refer to like Joseph on this
as
show.
As opposed to the, what do I usually say? Keyshawn?
J&J and well, Max.
No.
All right.
Keyshawn?
Yo, well, no, Max is not. As I told somebody the other day, you know, James, if James, our producer behind the scenes here, people always ask questions about individuals you work with. Yeah. Hey, what is so-and-so like, and what is this guy like? Man, you know, I'm like, nah, Max ain't really like that. Max could.
What do you mean? What was the question now? Now I need to know the question that was asked.
Interesting.
So Max got some swag to him to a degree.
Okay.
So it's like, is he trying to be?
Oh.
And I have to tell him, say, nah, he ain't, nah.
No, this is just me.
No, that's just Max. He been around us enough where it just rubs off on him to a point where his parents are probably like, hey, are you our son? You know, because he got that swag like that.
Both my parents are in the South Bronx, though, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, that's true. You know, so by him saying Keyshawn a certain way versus, hey, Keyshawn, that's a different person. You know?
I see what you're saying.
It would never come out that way in a million years out of Max's mouth. It just would.
Right. Yeah.
So he was giving you props.
I understand it now.
He was applauding you.
I appreciate it.
Because you know how we can be, Jay. They want to know.
They want.
Hey, what's this guy? How do you let him get away with that? I'm like, nah, man, that's just him. Man. He ain't getting away with nothing.
Yeah, what did I get? I don't even know what they're talking about. What am I getting away with?
You've seen Sanford and Sons, and I haven't, so, you know.
Oh, I see.
Max actually watched Sanford and Sons.
Yeah, I didn't. Unlike
you, Jay.
No. That was the most popular show in the country.
To take my car, actually, like,
actually, somebody told me to take your card last week.
Oh.
They actually told me that. They said, man, go grab his card. Man, how the hell he ain't seen
so I was like, so I could take
12,
your card if
man.
You haven't seen Insecure. I could take your new
I haven't seen it. Is it new? I haven't seen it.
No, it's been around for a while. Yates, tell this man about Insecure.
Insecure has been around for a little bit, but Sanford and Son has been around for a while.
That's
My
true.
Dad called me and was like, yo. Ain't no way,
Jay. I remember.
Jay who Jay is.
I remember when my dad called me from a rotary phone. Hey,
but wait. But wait, Jay. Is Insecure streaming?
No, I'd rather use this iPhone.
No, but is it on streaming?
Sanford and Son?
Not Sanford and Son. Insecure. Is it a streaming?
Yeah, everything is streaming, Keith.
No, but I'm saying, is it like one of those.
Things are streaming. Everything
streams. But is it like one of those shows that's made only for Netflix or only for something? Is that what it is?
Keith.
Because I don't know.
Keith, you have streaming services at your house.
I do, but I'm saying.
You're saying which one?
Which one is it on?
Oh, it's on HBO.
Oh, see, Sanford and Son was on regular television.
Yeah.
Not HBO. Oh. So if you tell me to go catch it on HBO, then great. I'll go look for it. I'll go look for it.
We're really debating this right now. You can't
watch
it because it's on HBO.
Yes, we're debating it because it
as
hasn't.
As opposed to some regular TV.
But look, Jay, that means it hasn't been around that long.
Well, hasn't been around as long as Sanford and Son. That's been around.
Do you
for like
remember
50 years.
Rotary phones, Jay? Because Key, when Jay brings up rotary phones, I remember in New York when they switched up area codes. So now Manhattan's 212, Brooklyn 718.
Yeah.
Oh, if your finger slipped on the eighth number or something like that, it's 11 number. It was the worst on rotary phones when they added area codes.
Yeah, I ain't giving up my card, Jay, because that streaming stuff, that's all new.
It's not new. It's been around for a while now.
I was not aware enough. Everyone needed cards. I thought cards were only for some people.
Not as long as Sanford is, huh? No, everyone has a card.
I see.
Until you
everyone,
don't.
Including you.
Until mm-hmm. you don't.
And if you do something that does not want you to have that card anymore, mm-hmm. Evan will take it back. I promise you.
He's going to take the card.
You. Yes.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So, in the first segment of this very program an hour ago, Jay.
There it is.
You seem to think that
go ahead, tell me what
James
I seem to
Harden,
think.
I'm just recapping, you correct me if I'm wrong, all right. He's the witness.
All right, I'm waiting for it.
You seem to think that James Harden really didn't do that much different.
See?
He just, the
nope.
shots were falling.
Nope. But go ahead with your point.
Okay. Well, I was going to say James Harden seems to agree with you. You want to hear from James Harden?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear from James Harden.
Just took what the defense gave me. Same shots, just made some. Nothing really changed, man. I made some shots. That's a game changer, but just being aggressive and that fourth quarter, I think that group that started the fourth quarter did a really good job of pushing the lead up and doing what we're supposed to do.
Would Jay like to change his mind about not having made that point now since James Harden agrees with your point?
Well, I understand what Jay is saying, right? Jay is the basketball expert on the show, and he certainly sees things from a basketball perspective, being one of the top point guards that come out of Duke. No question about it. So he sees it different. 31-7-9, I don't give a damn how you see it. I'm taking that, and I'm running to the bank. I don't care if the shots were tough. Like James Harden said, they were falling. I was a little more aggressive, and you can see when he went to the cup and leaned into a dude, layup, that's a little more aggressive than what we've seen. It wasn't a blow-by, but you also seen the step back. I think it was Kyle Lowry that fell on the ground. It was a nice step back. Boom, he pulled it. So when you look at that, to me, I'm taking that, Jay.
I understand
exactly what you're saying, but I'm taking that. Jimmy Butler, step back on him. Bam, that wasn't a tough shot. That's a James Harden signature shot.
Jay, I understand what you yes. I believe I understand your point, which is, but is it repeatable? Is what you saw something that can happen again? And something Key just said, I agree with. I've been trying to get your opinion on this for like an hour. I saw Harden take it to the hole, and sometimes he does it just to draw contact, and if he doesn't get the call, no points, right? But I saw him finish strong. Right? And he didn't get the whistle, by the way. It's all right. He didn't get the and one.
He had 10 free throw attempts.
Yeah, but I'm saying there was a play I'm referring to where he didn't get the and one, but it was all right. You got your 2 points because he was taking it with a different kind of mentality to me. Did you see any of that? Because that's repeatable.
He got to the – James Harden had an incredible damn game.
Okay.
First and foremost, he had an incredible game. What I'm trying to tell you guys, though, is that I don't see this as something that is – people are going to say, oh, this is James Harden. Like, James Harden got hot last night. There's a difference sometimes, Key, when you get hot as mm-hmm. opposed to knowing that you can do this over a sustained period of time. And I said this morning, I thought this was great because it buys Joel Embiid time for Joel Embiid to continue to be the guy that we know he can be coming off that concussion protocol, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it as something that you can expect from James Harden every single night.
So let me ask you this, though, Jay, yes. as a guy who actually, you know, scored points and triple doubles and did all this. What's sustainable to you though? Like, is it sustainable every single night, every other night, once a series? Like, what is it that when you say sustainable, explain to me a little deeper what sustainable is in James Harden's situation?
His passing and his playmaking ability, and his shot being something like you guys have to learn how to expect. Like, he's not going to be hot every single night, but the nights he can get it cooking, you'll think, oh, that's the old James Harden. But that's not going to be who he is all the time. They shot 49% from the three-point line last night.
Because of his passing partly, though, right? That was on point.
Well, yeah, but you also need guys to make shots in order for you to get assists. Now, I'm not taking away his assists around the rim. His passing sometimes around the basket was incredible. But when you have guys like Tobias Harris, who is shooting, you know, lights out from the three-point line, when you have Danny Green, who's 3 of 4, when you have guys who are knocking down shots, and James Harden is 6 of 10, it's going to make it look different. That's
question
my
for both of you.
And also, while they shot 49%, the Miami Heat guys shot 20%. They could not shoot. And Duncan Robinson has played 1 minute in this series. So when you shoot the ball that high of a clip, you're going to play well. I'm just not saying that's going to be sustainable.
Duncan Robinson, because Spoelstra thinks he's a defensive liability. I hear you. But A question for both of you, because Key, you played basketball and could have played at a high level.
Key, we just see sports,
if you would have gone
sports,
on.
Yes.
And the same thing with you. I'm talking about people with experience taking these shots. It seems to me that point guards who get guys the ball in rhythm where they want it, you can expect higher shooting percentages from guys that just kind of get it to them in the basic area. They got to reach for it. It breaks their rhythm. Kyle Lowry is not the guy, for example, that he's normally, because he's hurt, right? And you can see that show up. But Harden was getting guys the ball with precision in rhythm, and they were hitting shots. Do you believe in that, yes or no?
What do you mean? That is the reason why they're getting shots is because James Harden
one
hit
of the
them
reasons,
in the pockets?
One of why they're hot is because they're getting the ball
in
the way
rhythm.
They like it. Yeah,
yeah,
in rhythm,
it's a part
Jay.
Of it. But they're hot because they're hot. There's a lot of times you catch the ball in rhythm or pocket, and you still don't make shots.
Did you find that when you shot?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Just because I pass Key and it hits him right in the pocket doesn't mean he won't make the shot.
Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. We're talking about odds. Does it rise or lower? It rises. Presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Look, much more on James Harden's big performance and a bad call that has the Celtics down 2-1. Or 1-2. That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80. What celebrity do you look like?
Well, when Curtis Granderson smiles, I'm like, yeah, I get it. But sure. Oh, you're black and you look
tired.
Jay, Dave
tired.
Chappelle. No.
We're back.
No.
Dave Chappelle.
No.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as the Warriors host the Grizzlies, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. Brian Windhorst with us now. Windy, good morning. I want to jump right in with a point that Jay has been making. Jay, I love it. Like, all you got to do is buy some time till Embiid gets back, but what is your main point about James Harden so Wendy can react?
So, Wendy, you heard the sound coming into our program where a player said, I think it was Tyrese Maxey, it was his night tonight to lead us to a dub. And I looked at Max and I said, exactly, verbatim. It was his night tonight. James Harden played his tail off. But when people say, oh, I knew we would get vintage James Harden back, I'm saying, whoa, wait a guys. Vintage James Harden last night shooting that way would have dropped 50. Like, for him to drop 31, a lot of those shots were contested. It was more so the passing that impressed me. But don't expect James Harden to be the guy who's going to drop 35, 40 every single night. That's no longer who I think James Harden is. The passing and guys receiving those passes and shooting 49% from the three-point line, that's what makes it look good. That's what makes you think they're a championship team. But don't expect him to revert back to a guy who dropped 45 every single night consistently. Last night was an anomaly, a 30-plus point game.
Right. Well, I mean, I think he had three consecutive seasons where he averaged 30 points a game. So, you know, I mean, you could argue that, you know, I guess you could say it was vintage and that it was an average Harden game from 3 years ago. But I would say two things. One, You know, he made his three-pointers. He was only 2 of 8 inside the three-point line. You know, he still, you know, isn't getting to those spots like he did, but he went 6 of 10 from three-point range. And look, he looked spry in doing it. He had a couple of those step-backs where he looked light on his feet, where he drove in and then, you know, came back to get separation, and that looked good. And you know, this is largely I wish it wasn't as simple. This series has largely been who makes their three-pointers. Mm-hmm. Philly could not buy a shot in Miami the first two games. They were 14 of 64 on threes. They lose the two games. Miami, the two games in Philly, 14 of 65. 14 of 64 for Philly, they lose the first two. 14 of 65 for Miami, they lose the next two. Now, of course, it's not just that. One of the reasons why Philly shot the ball much better from three-point range, they were at almost 50% in these last two games, is because Embiid came back. Yep. Embiid came back and changed the spacing and changed the dynamic and created open looks. Of course, that was a factor. Kyle Lowry is really, really wounded. He's not even moving very well. He's not playing well at all. He can't get a shot to go, and he can't create shots as normal. I mean, there are factors that are related to it, but this has been a three-point shooting series. And so it was great to see James Harden deliver it. And, you know, the one moment when James hit one of those threes in the fourth quarter and Embiid was on the bench and he just was, you know, standing up and, like, you know, pounding his, you know, pumping his fists, because that's the concept of what this partnership is supposed to be. He and James working together. It was a terrific moment, but what's happening in the series is really much more basic. And guys, if you're Philly, you got to feel good because you have Embiid. You know, it's 2-0 since Embiid came back, and you're going down there needing one win in two games in Miami with Embiid. So you like your chances.
Mm. Wendy, you are in Milwaukee covering the Bucks and the Celtics, and Jason Tatum seemed to have hurt his wrist on that dunk over Giannis. Are the Celtics worried about that at all moving forward, or any concerns?
You know, he really downplayed that what led to his performance. He says it's been bothering him for a while. It was bothering him in the second half of game two when he had 24 points in the second half of that game. So that's not what he is saying. I think what's happened is, you know, this series, it's a very tight series. Both teams are playing excellent defense. There's some possessions where you're just in awe of the way the one team, you know, goes through its strengths and slows the other team. So it's really coming down to, like, who can just individually will it. And Giannis willed it in game three. I mean, at 42, he was furious at the way he played in game two. He sat around for 3 days and stewed about it and came out in what he knew was a vital game three and dropped 42 in a relentless attack on the basket. And Tatum, who is the Celtics version of Giannis, now they are not the same player. They have different games, but both of them are super elite players. Tatum did not have the same aggression. He got frustrated with some of the things that the Bucks were doing to him defensively. He was, you know, making decisions that were just wrong. He was misreading situations. He was dribbling himself into trouble and passing up opportunities when he had looks. He was just off. And in a series this close, you cannot afford your best player to lay an egg. Everybody has bad shooting nights, but Tatum had a passive bad shooting night, and it was just not acceptable. And if they're going to win this series, which they now have less margin for error, Tatum has to be great, bottom line.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Wendy, the late call on Marcus Smart was a controversial play. It was called a 2, not a 3. The 2-minute report from the NBA said the officials got the call correct. Let me ask you, how did you see it?
In the moment, I felt that it was unlikely a rip-through move. I felt that it was probably a 3-shot foul in the moment. The official who was standing right there, Sean Wright, one of the most veteran officials we have, he instantaneously called it a rip-through move. And Boston did not have a challenge left. I submit that even if they had a challenge, they would not have overturned it. And Marcus Smart's defense was pretty airtight. His defense was, why would I do a rip-through move when I know that that only gets two free throws and there's 5 seconds left and we're down three? I would never do that. And I find that defense to be plausible. I don't believe he would do it either. But the official, there was no doubt in the official's mind. And they didn't even, in my memory, they didn't even really huddle to like discuss like whether any of the other officials had something else to do. And this series is extremely, extremely close. So the officiating, whenever you have a situation like this, the officiating means so much. Not only that, you've got the Celtics game plan, and this isn't an original game plan. Yeah. The Celtics game plan is to bait Giannis into charges. So they are, from the moment the tip-off happens, flopping over. There's Celtics hitting the floor left and right when Giannis walks into the lane. So you've got there is just a grinding on officiating. And the Bucks worried, I think, that there's going to be a comeback because of the way that game ended. Their general manager, John Horst, gave an interview last night complaining about the calls that the Celtics are getting. So I think it's all a symptom of what is really, really a closely played series. But here's what I come back to after I said all that. On that play where the Celtics are down three and in desperate need of a playmaking because the play that they drew up for it fell apart, Jason Tatum is standing 30 feet away in the corner, doesn't even have his arms up. Yeah. The ball's got to be in Jason Tatum's hand in that moment. And if you want to complain about the officiating, if you're the Celtics, that's fine. But that's not why he didn't win the game.
But I hear you on that, Wendy. But I disagree with the NBA and their call on this. Because as any guard that sees, when I was watching the game as a guard too, when you're coming off and time is dwindling down on the clock, shot clock, and you're at, you know, 4.5, 5 seconds, when you see your defensive guy coming off and Jrue Holiday, his arms extend. These days, basketball-wise, I'm taught to go right into my shot motion. If your arms are in my pocket, if they're close to in my stomach, I'm going right into my shot motion, right up for a shot. It's automatic. It's in your brain. It's embedded. It's how the game is played today. So I don't see how the refs can think about that as a rip-through, because you're going to shoot the shot if you recognize that's the case. I mean, that's what you work on every day in the offseason. Somebody's hand is in your pocket, rip through their hands into the shot. It's natural. It's instinct. They had to get it wrong on this one.
Well, the other thing, you know, Jay, is that earlier in the game, I think in my memory, it was even in the second half, but maybe I'm wrong, Smart did a rip-through move where it was a classic, not question, where he did, where it was more of a face-up situation. Yep. And I don't remember who it was, but the guy's hand was out and he ripped through. This was not a classic rip-through move. However, the officials had watched Marcus Smart do it. I will say the difficult thing with that is the official, one of the best officials in the league, called it in that moment. And, you know, in watching the replay, it was amazing. It happened right in front of the Celtics bench and right in front of the Celtics ownership. Wick Griesbach was sitting right there, a foot from Ime Udoka, who was 3 feet from the play. And they were absolutely incredulous in the moment because they knew what this meant. And so you hate for it to come down like that. In my view, it was a three-shot foul. But I'm telling you, it was never even close to being called a three-shot foul. I don't even think the officials viewed it as controversial. And I talked to the Bucks, and of course, they didn't view it as controversial. They pointed out that the Celtics had 16 free throws to the Bucks' zero down the stretch of the fourth quarter. So, again, my analytical situation is, where is Jason Tatum on that play? Why are you relying on Marcus Smart to get a call? But I know not everybody's going to see it that way.
Yep, Tatum wants to get to where Giannis is now. It does not happen overnight. Giannis had his growing pains, too. That is the great Brian Windhorst, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NBA insider. Thanks, Wendy, as always.
All right, Wendy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
You too, brother.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Proud to serve members of the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Our members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Are the Bears setting Justin Fields up to succeed on the field? All right, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Ryan Pohl says they're all in on Justin Fields.
And Bear and Key said Bears fans should feel happy about it.
Yeah, man. Said on Friday, ESPN 1000.
Slick there, Jay.
What That's that what mean? You just said in the promo, Key.
Said
just paying it off.
Listen, Key, you were talking about it earlier in the show, right? Like, not every team is on the same timetable. Some teams are they just packaged their draft picks to go up in the draft and draft Justin Fields last year, and now they're building a team around him. It's not like year one, oh, here are all your offensive weapons, and now we're ready to go. It takes a little time.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the approach that Ryan Poles is making in terms of Justin Fields, right? There's nothing wrong with that. When you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, for instance, Jay and Max, Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence, they had money to spend. So they went out and spent the money. They also had these top picks. So they decided, okay, we're going to go. We got the number one pick. Not only do we have the number one pick, we got some other draft picks. We got a ton of money. Let's speed up the process a little bit. Then on the other hand, you got the New York Jets. The New York Jets got a haul of picks through trades and all sorts of different ways that they acquired those picks. Where now Chicago surrendered a lot of their assets because of whether it was the Khalil Mack situation, whether it was moving up for Justin Fields a year ago, whatever the case is, bringing in a new head coach, he wants to move things along very slow with the general manager, opposed to saying, okay, we're going to hit the ground running. And I think it is better for Justin Fields to learn what the NFL is all about, learn teammates, what it's all about to build versus dropping him in a situation where the pressure is on a coach to win right now. Last year, the pressure was on Matt Nagy to win, and it didn't happen, so he got fired. New coaches come in. Now you can take 2 years, 3 years to build a roster, and in your fourth or fifth year as a head coach, you become hot seat because if you don't win, they're going to want to get rid of you.
So, Jay, here is Ryan Pohl, the Bears GM on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Listen to him talk about his confidence in Justin Fields.
We're all in on Justin. I believe in Justin. Our staff believes in Justin. And like I said, from the beginning, we're gonna set this up for him to succeed. And I know I've got a lot of questions, but what about receiver? What about it? We're going to do the best we can with the roster. We're going to improve the roster as well, but we're also going to get the scheme. We're going to get his technique. And our coaches are hard at work, and so is Justin. I mentioned this earlier today. Justin is grinding right now, and he's putting in the time. The leadership piece is coming out of him. So I'm excited. I'm excited about him and what he's going to become here.
Key, I truly feel like one of the most understated things in all of sports is when you have leadership that actually articulates reasonable expectations. Reasonable expectations, right? So, look, he set it up. Justin Fields, first guy in, last guy out, works his tail off, really hungry. We're starting to see, and we expect him to have a better year than he had last year because you're actually looking at reasonable growth. But when you start saying, hey, we're going to bring in these splashy names, and expectation turns into, we have to win right now, we have to win right now, then you put more pressure on your quarterback to be something that maybe he's not ready to be.
Absolutely.
And you create a shorter runway for him than extending the runway. And I think that talks a little bit about the brilliance of Ryan Poles in this decision alone, which I give him a lot of credit for because it takes a strong person to say, no, let's just calm down. Nobody's expecting us to win right now, but we're looking for these incremental advances in how we play the game, and that's what he's setting it up for.
Well, see, next year, here we go, Max, with a Keyshawn timeline, third mm-hmm. person. This is his rookie year for Justin Fields. This is his rookie year for the general manager and the head coach. This is their rookie year. So next year, we want to see a little more growth. Then that third year, now that seat starts to get a little warm. Now it's like, well, hold on, man. We can't keep trusting the process. We've got to now start to win because guess what? The Minnesota Vikings is a little bit different at quarterback. Potentially the Green Bay Packers are a little bit different at quarterback. The Detroit Lions may be a little bit different at quarterback. We may have the elder statement in quarterback in terms of Justin Fields in the division, given the fact that we don't know where Kirk Cousins and Goff is going to be in their careers. We certainly don't know where Aaron Rodgers is going to be in his career, if he's in or if he's out. He's a little bit older. Whatever the case may be, now you start to get that pressure that you're talking about, Jay.
Hey, I just want to go over something here for a second because I think – a lot of expectations get skewed by or get misunderstood, because in fact what you should expect is skewed by circumstance. Let's start with the ideal circumstance. You're the Kansas City Chiefs. You already have a good quarterback, you're a playoff team, and a guy falls in the draft and you're able to grab a Patrick Mahomes, and then you can sit him for a year, and then he catches fire the first time he touches the ball, because you have a window to win in a guy's rookie contract, right? And ideally, you can win a Super Bowl before you have to pay the guy. Justin Herbert. Now, not quite as ideal, because Herbert went to a worse team than Mahomes did, so now you still got to build up the team around him, but at least your quarterback's good right away, and you still have a chance to win in his rookie window. That's ideal. But let me say something. It's not necessary. Like, if you take a guy like Justin Fields and you're like, we may have to pay him before we actually can make a Super Bowl run, because as Key said, this is like his rookie year, then next year need to see something, then you put a team around him, and by the time it's time to win, it's time to pay him. Bears fans will take that. Bears fans don't need to win a Super Bowl on Justin Fields' rookie contract. What's much more important is just that he turns out to be a great quarterback. And it looks to me like that's in there with this guy. And Key, Jay, that's what I think is, like, ideal situation, whatever. If he has greatness in him and that comes out eventually, he doesn't need to be, Patrick Mahomes on his rookie deal. He just needs to eventually be good enough.
See, I always frown upon the notion and the thought process that you got to win a Super Bowl on somebody's rookie contract because mm-hmm. you're going to have to pay him. Well, the Buffalo Bills paid Josh Allen and they ain't won no Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And they still got – they just paid Stephon Diggs. They just paid Von Miller and so on and so on and so on. So with that being said, a decision 3 years from now or 2 years from now is going to have to be made on Justin Fields' future as a Chicago Bear quarterback. Now, he'll probably be the quarterback from here on out, but that is going to – 2 years from now is going to have to be made. The same with Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And if you're asking me right now, Trevor Lawrence ain't winning no Super Bowl on his rookie contract, and right. neither is Zach Wilson. But they're going to be paid like they won a Super Bowl, and you just got to keep building the team around young quarterbacks. Things like Patrick Mahomes, Jay, that's an outlier, man. You got a veteran coach that has been there and done it, knows what to do, how to build teams. He dropped him into place, and they rolled, and they've been rolling ever since. You look at a situation up in Buffalo, Josh Allen got him right there. Right there, Jay, right? Got him right mm-hmm. there. And in the end, they may win a Super Bowl, but he's already got paid.
But, Key, you know, like, all right, so you bring Stephon Diggs in. It's a big name, right? All of a sudden it gives a splash. I think some people in Chicago want the splash name to come in because they want star power. And what Ryan Poles is essentially saying is, no, we're not ready for all that star power yet. We have to create a legitimate foundation so that when we do bring that star power in, it's time to win.
Right, as you and Key, like what it leads to me, you don't pay your quarterback to stop winning Super Bowls. You pay him ostensibly to win Super Bowls. If you think you got a Super Bowl-level quarterback, and that's what they hope they have with Justin Fields eventually, which second-year quarterback has the best season? That's the question, and we'll give you the answer next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80. Quarterback.
Keyshawn. Max, we having fun. Jay Will.
Yeah, Max.
And Max.
We had 2 minutes of fun.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max.
What's happening, Big Pimpin' Dan? Nice to see you again.
What up, little homie?
So today's Monday, Dan. Big
Don't
day.
Ever do that again, Dan, on national television. Please.
It took Key about 30 seconds to process that one. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. And Monday morning, Dan is with us. Dan Orlovsky, ladies and gentlemen.
What up, little homie?
Max, I need you to say, Max, I need you to say, what's up, little homie?
See, that's very West Coast, though. It's not
no,
me, but
I
I'll say.
I just need you to say it. Just roll. Just let's go.
For him. Can't.
What's up, little homie?
See, that's natural. Dan, now you say it.
No.
You gonna say it, Dan?
Yeah, that
ain't. Nah, that ain't. Don't work like that.
Key, but you know New York because you were here for a long time. New York's more like zhup, 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 zhup. No, zhup, zhup, zhup. We barely
mutter. I sound
moderate.
More natural than Max does.
No.
No.
Calm down. I might have to agree with you on that, Dio.
No.
I don't know, Key.
I'm with Key on this one.
I don't know. Dan, let me hear it again.
What up, little homie?
See, I.
No, man.
With you, Dio.
No, see, Dan sound like a dude on our basketball team that hangs out with us doing basketball. And that's about all.
Only during the season?
It sounds like an imitation.
Only during the season.
Oh, y'all stupid, man.
Guilty. Dan,
ain't no basketball teams looking like that in Westport, Dan. I know that.
Nope.
Ryan Poles, Dan, says the Bears are all in on Justin Fields. Now, they haven't put much around him on offense yet. What are your expectations for Justin Fields this season?
Yeah, they're low. I mean, first of all, Ryan Poles should be all in on Justin Fields because he's a tremendous talent, and he wouldn't have taken the job without the understanding that Justin is unquestionably their future guy. They spent so much in their past drafts, also including last year's, to go get Justin. They didn't have a lot of resources this year to actually go and support him. I think that he's probably in the worst position out of these second-year quarterbacks for the relative expectation of this guy should go and play well because of what we've put around him. That offensive line is still a poor unit. They're going to be reliant on Tevin Jenkins, who I believe they took in the second round last year, to get healthy and play really good football. But it's still a bottom five, bottom six unit in the league. And I don't believe that they have his top two pass catchers are all third round or later draft picks. I don't believe he has a number one or a number two wide receiver. Now, Mooney's a good player. I don't believe Mooney's elevated himself to be a number two wideout. And even if you want to say that Mooney's a number two wideout, then that means his number one wideout is absolutely not remotely close to being a one. So, like, my expectations for his performance level in the totality are probably the least out of all the six second-year quarterbacks that we have going into this season.
Dan, last week I ranked my six top second-year quarterbacks, and I had Justin Fields sitting at two. But I had a myriad of reasons why I listed the way that I did, right? For instance, I don't know if Trey Lance is going to be the guy or not
right.
in San Francisco. We really don't know. We kind of don't know Zach Wilson. We don't know what that really is. We think we know. We obviously know Mac Jones and what New England was able to do. Davis Mills showed flashes. But then Justin Fields, as I get to him at number two, I look at that and say, yeah, they don't have a whole lot, so to speak. But I think his pure athletic ability will allow him to do certain things that some of these other guys will not be able to do. Trevor Lawrence clearly is number one because of the things that they have along with Doug Peterson. So that was my list from last week.
See, I would put Zach at one. As far as how I expect these guys to play. I'm not ranking them of who I think is the best player, but the guys that I think are going to play well, I think Zach Wilson's at the top of the list. Dude, the Jets in 3 years, they have two first-round draft picks on the offensive line that they selected themselves, another first-round pick in Laken Tomlinson that they signed over from free agency. They signed Uzama. They've got two first-round draft picks at wide receiver now and a second-round draft pick at wide receiver. This is a very good unit. I actually think there's a ton of pressure on Zach Wilson to go play well. Mac Jones is going to be really good. Trevor Lawrence, I don't even put at number one, Key, because I still think there's questions on the offensive line, and I wanted them to add in the draft wide receiver-wise. I know they have Christian Kirk. Marvin Jones can still be a good player there. Laviska Shenault, they're getting ETN back healthy. I just don't think that I think Trevor's going to play well, but if I had to go, what quarterback do I think is supported the best, is given the most amount of necessary talent to go play well, I actually think I would go Zach Wilson, then Trevor Lawrence, then Mac Jones, then Trey Lance, then Davis Mills, then Justin Fields.
Wow. So Dan, you're saying right now, that's all the talk around Chicago, where people are saying, how come the Bears didn't add splashy names through the draft to help Justin Fields? So are you agreeing with that they didn't do a good job of really getting any support for him through the draft at all?
Absolutely, Jay. When they took those, I think they had two second-round picks. When they made their second-round selections, they were both defensive backs. I tweeted out, like, what the heck are we doing? And everyone responded back to me from Chicago Bears fans, like, our secondary was terrible last year. Yeah, guys, I'm aware of that. I watched every single snap. But whether your secondary is good this year or not is really not going to be a massive impact or a massive determining factor on whether your quarterback starts to get some feel good, play better, and you start to put building blocks in place to allow him to play well. So, yeah, I completely agree. I was surprised that one of those second-round picks wasn't either an offensive lineman or a wide receiver. Like I said, Jay, his top two pass-catching threats are a second-round tight end and a third-round wide receiver that they took, high draft-wise, the third-round 24 or 25-year-old receiver they took out of Tennessee this year. So for us to expect for this young quarterback to come in and play really well this year, you're kidding yourselves. It's not going to happen. And if Justin Fields plays really well this year, he will be in the MVP conversation because of what he has been given to play with.
Yeah, and that's why I had him at two, because I think he can win games. Now, look, I look at the division. Clearly, Green Bay is at the top of the heap. But what do we really know other than a veteran quarterback and some really good receivers in Minnesota? I don't think Detroit had a really nice draft, but are any of us in the NFL circles really believing that Detroit has closed the gap on the Green Bay Packers? So as far as I'm concerned, the number two spot is up for grabs within that division. And people will say, well, not Carson Wentz. People would say that Kirk Cousins is a veteran quarterback who has won games in Minnesota, but I don't know that, Dan. I don't know what they are at all.
I think both Minnesota and Detroit are way closer to Green Bay than people expect. I think Chicago's a significant four spot.
That is Dan Orlovsky. I got to say, I don't hear any real Monday morning Dan there, but you know, good solid sports stuff. Usually Dan will throw flames on Monday, and this was just good, solid sports opinions. Thank you, Dan.
Well, he said MVP.
One baseball manager needs a math lesson. Right. That's over. Next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides.
See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.